This coming Thursday, we have the annual March for Life to help for the legal protection of the unborn in our country. And I remember the first one I went to with Our Lady of Hope was kind of one of the first things that I was sent out to do on my own. So I was the bus captain, and it was when we had that terrible blizzard that shut down the church for 5 days and the rest of the area. And I recall we got to the place where the bus was supposed to be, and it wasn't there. As the snow was coming down, everything was frozen. And some of the buses, though, had parked around the other side of the block because they had run out of room where we were supposed to meet. So I sent two of my college students who were there helping with the youth group to go see if the buses were on the other side. And they started to walk, and I was like, guys, you should really be running if you're going to keep us waiting. Well, they actually started running, and they shouldn't have because it was icy and treacherous, so that wasn't very pro-life of me. But they went running, and this one lady leaned over and said, you know, Father, you really can't joke that way with people because they see you as an authority figure now. And so I thought, you know, I guess so. With great power comes great responsibility, as Uncle Ben said to Spider-Man. So ever since then, I've been careful about joking about running in treacherous situations or anything that could endanger people. That doesn't really have anything to do with what I was going to talk about, but it's my best memory of the March for Life, which is an important moment because we hear about Samuel here in the first reading, about listening to what God is calling him to do. And for everybody, for every season, that's a different thing. And for this season right now, as we prepare for the March for Life, it really is to think about what we can do to help the unborn. Because one of the only things that matters from a human standpoint, not even as a Christian one, but just as a human person, is protecting innocent life. That's something that no matter what your religious persuasion is something that is paramount in life. You can talk to almost anybody with any set of beliefs and they'll say that we have to protect innocent life. And this is why our government doesn't do its job when it's not protecting the unborn. And there are many issues that are pro-life issues. You know, we call this the consistent ethic of life, the idea that all of these issues are intertwined. But even Cardinal Bernardine, who is the one who really crafted that idea, said that it's a misuse of that doctrine if we combine other doctrines with abortion and euthanasia without seeing their primacy. Because without the right to life, we have no other rights. We can't even be hungry or be without shelter if we're not born to begin with. Everything else flows from that. And that's why we have to make it our mission to first and foremost protect innocent life. And that begins in the womb and it goes until natural death. Because as soon as we start to draw lines and say that this actually is life and this isn't, or that this kind of life is worthy to be maintained and this one isn't, then we're falling into the same traps that so many societies in the past have. This is exactly what happened in Nazi Germany, where they would say, these people are people, but others, Jews or gypsies or the disabled or homosexuals, that these aren't people, and so they're not worthy of life. No, every human life, no matter what, has to be protected. And that's what this week is all about, is calling to mind the fact that God creates us all as an individual, as somebody who is worthy of life, simply because we're sons and daughters of God. And when you go to the pro-life march, if you've been, you'll see that it's a lot of young people. I'm always surprised that it's almost entirely young people. It's a few people like myself who are sort of leading groups, but it's so many groups of school-age kids all the way through teenagers, college students, whole colleges come. It's a real pro-life generation that we've created. Sadly, I think it's a pro-life generation because so many that are my age and even a little bit older, and certainly all the younger people, realize that there are whole parts of our generation that aren't with us now. People that could have been great saints, writers, doctors, or just ordinary good people, never had a chance to be born to begin with. And so that's why I think you have so many young people that are really on fire with this issue and know that we have to do everything that we can to legally protect the unborn. So what can we do this week? Well, if you haven't been to the Pro-Life March, or even if you have, it's a great experience. I would recommend going. It's easy to get there on the metro, and we still have a few seats left on our parish buses, though not many. And also to pray. Of course, that's always the most important thing we can do, because we're not going to change this unless we change hearts. We can contact our elected officials and encourage them to promote pro-life legislation and to vote for it. And, of course, we can do penance, fast and pray together for our country and for the great crimes that we've committed against the unborn. And also to work, you know, we can't just look at the negative and say we don't want abortion unless we're also willing to do the hard work to help mothers who are oftentimes facing these crises. Very rarely do people just decide on a whim to have an abortion. It's usually because they're under incredible amounts of pressure. That's the reason one of our poor box collections every month is for Birthright. And there's so many organizations like that. Birthright, Woman's Choice, there's the Tepeyac Clinic. All of these organizations, even right here in the local area, they support mothers with free medical care and any other needs that they have in order to have their children. And then when the children are born, they either help the mother to raise that child or help that mother to find an adoptive family, whatever the mother decides. And that's the beauty of this, is that it's not just a negative that we're, you know, sort of trying to outlaw something without providing the alternative. To be pro-life is to really not just be anti-abortion, but to be pro-building up a culture of life, helping mothers to have their children. And ultimately, to make sure that we're also reaching out to those who have had abortions, because, of course, an abortion is not just something that affects the child, but affects the mother as well. I see that so often in the confessional, where oftentimes mothers will carry this guilt with them for decades. And there's so many resources to help. So if we know somebody, or even if you yourself or somebody that suffers from having had an abortion and from that trauma, there's wonderful resources that the church provides. So it's not just anti-abortion, it's being pro-life. And if we do the things that we're called to do to build up a culture of life, to help those affected, children and mothers, and to help those who may be facing a difficult situation while also working against the legalization of abortion, then we create not a culture of death, as Pope John Paul II so often warned us we were creating, but we start to build up a culture of life, one in which Christ would surely be welcome.